Horror Writers Podcast, episode number 34.
All right, and welcome back to the Horror Writers Podcast, the show with two horror authors discussing all things in the world of horror. I'm your host, Zach Bohan, and with me every single time is Jay Thorne. How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing great, Zach. How you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Got this new camera set up, and like I told you before, just kind of realizing how blank my wall is behind me. I need to get some posters or something hung up.
It looks good, though, man. Looks nice. Definitely looks very clear. Like it.
I've got the black curtains too, so you know, over here, so
can't go wrong with black.
Anyway, so today we're kind of doing a end of the year review show. We're gonna, you know, kind of talk about how the year went for us individually, talk about some movies, some shows, and some books that we really enjoyed this year. Hopefully not go too off on a tangent and talk about stuff we didn't like, because I know there's some of those too. We'll try to keep it positive. And then kind of just talk about, you know, what lies ahead for both of us in 2016. But before we get started, I know we have something Jay and I have kind of been talking about behind the scenes, and I'm going to let Jay kind of fill you in on that.
Yeah, thanks, man. I'm going to try and keep this as brief as I can while getting the point across here, because we got some cool stuff to talk about. We were talking about setting something up with Patreon, and I did this a while ago with the podcast when I first started, and I just never sent out episodes over it. And the reason that Zach and I were talking about this is we know that the show was originally developed for writers, and now we're really more focused on sort of the fan aspect of horror. But we also realize there's still a lot of writers that listen to the show, and we want to be able to offer something in that sense. So what we're going to do starting in January, it'll be up before, but we won't start charging till January. But we're going to have Patreon. If you don't know what Patreon is, it's completely voluntary. It's where you can pledge a certain amount for every episode we create. Now, I want to be clear in saying that all the episodes will continue to be completely free, as they have been on both YouTube and the website and iTunes and everything. But what we're doing here is we're setting some milestone markers, and hopefully what we can do is deliver some special Q&A episodes that are around specifically on book marketing, publishing, writing, for those in the audience who are in fact writers. So the way it's going to work is you can pledge as little as 50 cents per episode and up to whatever. There are different levels, and we'll put a link in the show notes. You can check out the specifics. But the milestone markers that we're shooting for are pretty, we think they're pretty realistic, and hopefully we can get some extra content for you guys. So I'll just kind of quickly hit them here. $100 per episode is, we'll do a Q&A episode where you can call in and be part of the show. That would be a one-time thing, and that would be free. $250 per episode, we're looking at 4 Q&A episodes per year. So quarterly we'll do a Q&A episode where you send in questions, and we do them as best we can, answer them as best we can. And then the top level is $500 per episode, and that's 12 Q&A episodes per year. So that would be one per month. That'd be like a fifth show per month. And all of these, whether you are a patron or not, would be free. So even if you don't pledge and we hit these milestone markers, you would still have access to these. But you know, hopefully you'd like the pledge. And very quickly, one of the reasons why a lot of podcasters are doing Patreon, if you're starting to notice this, or if you're starting to see why this is happening, there are sort of some underlying costs that we absorb to do this. And we do this because we love it, and you know, we're going to do it anyways, but it would just help out a little bit. Things you might not think about, like paying for the domain name, paying for the service that pushes the podcast out to iTunes. We have to pay monthly for that. We have to pay monthly for the website. And that doesn't involve any of our time. So what we're looking and hoping to do is just to kind of, you know, get a little bit to help us out, so we're not absorbing all of this on our own. But it's a very low, there's no pressure here. It's not a hard sales push. We're not, you know, demanding or anything. But realistically, if you like the show and you want to help us out, and you can you know, give us 50 cents a show, that adds up over a lot of people. And hopefully that'll, you know, we'll be able to produce some extra content for you guys as well.
And something to add to that is that, you know, we've been doing this show a couple months now, and, you know, we have numbers and stuff we can look at, but if any, you know, for you guys that listen and watch, like, we'd like some feedback. So if you guys want to leave comments and, or shoot us an email, there's an email address on thehorrorwriterspodcast.com. You know, tell us what you like about the show, you know, tell us what you don't like about the show. If you have anything, you know, I think Jay and I would, you know, would appreciate some feedback as well. yeah. So if you're interested in that, just comment on YouTube or on the website, or just shoot us an email. Like I said, you can do that through thehorrorwriterspodcast.com. So,
yeah, and we read them all. We see them all. So, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, cool. Well, that sounds good. So I guess we can start off by, you know, just kind of maybe talking a little bit, like do kind of a quick, you know, review for this year for us personally. For once, I will start since you just did a lot of talking. I know I usually take this over to you, but, yeah, so this was kind of, you know, this was obviously a really crazy year for me. You know, on a personal level, this is my first full year as a father, which has been amazing. So it's been really cool just seeing how much my daughter's changed from the first of the year up until now. So that's been really cool. You know, this is the first year that I've been publishing fiction. So obviously that has brought all kinds of changes into my life. You know, Empty Bodies, got published on February 2nd, I think, or something. I don't even remember at this point. It's like February 2nd or February 9th or something. You know, and since then I've published 5 additional novels, including, 3 other books in that series. And just, it's been insane. You know, made a lot of new friends, started this podcast. So it's definitely been it's funny, man. It's like the last few years, like all this, it's like every single year, like something, it's just been insane. Like, you know,
well, you're being modest, so I'm going to do it for you. Empty Bodies was a textbook breakout novel. I mean, that's what they're called, right? When you have your first book comes out and it hits as hard and as great and as fast as yours did, that's what it's called. So you should be really proud of that. That's lightning in a bottle, my friend.
Yeah, man, I am. And the thing that's cool is that, you know, I realize now that this is something that I can do if I really want to do it. Like I can be a full-time writer, you know, and that's my eventual goal. Luckily I really enjoy my day job, so I'm not in a big rush to get out of there or anything, but, it's cool what, you know, this age of the internet and stuff has brought us to, where we can do things like we're doing now with this podcast, and how we can write books and all this different stuff we can do. And, it's been awesome. It's been really cool to see that it's something that, you know, I'm actually able to do, you know, so, that pretty much sums it up for me. I mean, you know, so what about you, Jay?
Yeah. I'm glad you forced me to do this, because it's not in my nature to do these kinds of activities. So I'm kind of glad you did. I tend not to look behind me, and I try not to look too far ahead. I try and kind of stay in the moment, but I think this is a good thing to do. And I started going through some of my stuff, and I was like, wow, this was a pretty amazing year too. I mean, I'm also a father with 2 kids, and my son's in 7th grade, and it's kind of crazy because, I remember 7th grade. You know, some of the early stuff you don't remember, but like I remember 7th grade. So
yeah, me too, for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy kind of seeing him go through that, for better and worse. Yeah, I mean, publishing-wise, I didn't realize it. I wrote 2 novels with other people this year. So I did, you know, Shadow Witch with Dan, and I did Risen Gods with Joanna. And then Joanna and I also did a co-writing book on co-writing. I also released Vampire Apocalypse and the J.R. Rain Kindle World, and I kind of forgot about that stuff. I launched Dark Arts Theater this year, which was kind of crazy. It's hard to believe that was just this year. And I broke 1 million words published, which is kind of mind-boggling to me. I think like you, I never really thought of anything about it, and I never really thought I could be a writer. And you know, whether they're good words or not, doing 1 million of anything is is tough. So it's been kind of crazy for me too. So just really grateful. And like you said, to have the ability to do this kind of stuff, and it's been great. It's been a really good year.
That's awesome, man. Congrats on the million words. And what's funny about you and the place you're at right now is that, you know, it seems, I mean, it's funny because like you put a lot of stuff out this year, but you, like, as far as books, but you've been doing so much other stuff that it's like, I don't know, it's weird. And I know you've been banking stuff behind the scenes, you know, which we don't have to talk about that, but that's awesome, man. You know, so congrats on all that for sure. Thanks. So, well, cool, man. Well, let's move into so we're going to talk about like some movies and shows and books we watched this year that we really enjoyed. Now, this isn't necessarily going to be stuff that came out this year. I know, especially with books, like most of the books I read have been, I don't think any book on my list actually came out this year. Well, one did actually. Okay. So, you know, this isn't necessarily stuff that came out this year. This is just stuff that we've really, that we've enjoyed. So let's start with movies. I'll let you start. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I wanted to, you know, I didn't want to do a top three or top five because I don't like that idea of ranking them for this. So I just kind of, I looked at all the media, well, not all the media, but I looked at the different things that I, you know, enjoyed this year. And there were two movies, and I think these are both going to surprise you, Zach. The one movie that was really surprisingly good for me was the Goosebumps movie. And I don't know if you saw it.
No.
And I think it was because my expectations were kind of low. I'm a Jack Black fan, but my daughter loves Goosebumps, and she's read them all. And we went to see it for her birthday in October, and the whole experience was great. It was great to experience it with her. It was a little bit edgy. It had sort of some adult humor in it. Like, it wasn't, I don't know. It was surprisingly good. It's not necessarily a horror movie, and it's not something, you know, it didn't get critical acclaim or anything, but you know, it was enjoyable. And the other one, I don't know if you know, this one's called Deathgasm. Have you heard of Deathgasm?
I have heard of it, but I don't know much about it.
So I think it is these guys in, I think, New Zealand. It's a heavy metal horror film, but it's kind of tongue in cheek, like Shaun of the Dead. So it's sort of like,
I love this, it already.
Yeah, it's great. It's like zombies and vampires and stuff, but it's happening to these heavy metal stoner kids in high school in New Zealand. And it's like Evil Dead, Shaun of the Dead kind of stuff. It's really good. And it makes fun of metal. It makes fun of horror movies in a great way that makes you kind of sit back and laugh. So, neither of those are traditional horror films, but those were two that I watched this year. I thought were definitely worth it.
It's funny, man, on the Goosebumps stuff, because like I grew up on Goosebumps. Like I remember going to, you know, every time we'd have like a book fair at school, like I would always buy Goosebumps books, but I saw the trailer for the movie and I was just like, okay, this looks like, you know, Jumanji with books or like a Night at the Museum or something with book characters. Like it's interesting to hear you say that you enjoyed it, like, because it's just, it looked like my expectations would be set really low seeing that movie. So I do like Jack Black too, though. Like, yeah, you know, I remember seeing Jack Black way back in the day in this terrible movie called Airborne. I don't know if you remember that movie or not.
I do.
Super rollerblading movie, you know? And so that's interesting. I'll probably see it if it comes on Netflix or something. It'd be hard for me not to watch it. So for me, I went the other way. And I mean, every movie I picked is more like traditional horror. So there's one main one I want to talk about, but I'll mention a couple that I enjoyed. Let the Right One In was really, really interesting. I watched that one a couple months ago, and after hearing you and David W. Wright talk about it on Dark Arts Theater, I watched the Swedish version. And it was definitely interesting for sure. So, but it was really good. Another one was Sinister. I really enjoyed Sinister. It was a cool horror movie. But the main one I want to talk about, and I mentioned this to you, I think, in an email a couple weeks ago, was It Follows. Mm-hmm. That movie, I went in on it kind of like, okay, I don't know, because the premise of that movie is so freaking stupid. Like, it's basically like this guy has sex with this girl, and then she gets cursed with something that's following her, and he tells her the only way to get rid of it is to sleep with somebody else. I was like, okay, that's the dumbest premise for a movie ever. But it is an awesome movie. Like, it's just the vibe of the movie, like the camera work, and it's got this old school soundtrack that's almost like a throwback to the original Halloween. Very minimalist soundtrack. Like I said, the camera does all these cool tricks that always has you looking on the screen for something. It was awesome. Like, it was, it's a very, very good movie, with an arc that really kept me like engaged. Definitely if you haven't seen it, I definitely recommend seeing that one. Nice. So that was definitely my favorite horror movie I saw this year, no doubt.
Cool.
Yeah. So let's go to shows. I'll start on shows. It's funny, TV shows is actually usually my favorite medium of stuff that I love watching. Like, you know, we're in such a golden age of television. There's so many good shows out. It's funny, man. Like, I went and looked back at what I watched, and I really didn't watch a bunch of really new or good stuff this year. By far, hands down, the best show that I've watched this year was the latest season of Game of Thrones. No doubt. It was so good. And, you know, I don't know if you've watched it, but I'm sure you've seen on the internet plenty of stuff about the cliffhanger it was left on. the last episode. So it's like, you know, everyone's kind of chomping the bit waiting for, I think it comes on in March or April of the new season. But, you know, other than that, like, you know, there were definitely some shows that I watched, I rewatched Sons of Anarchy because I was still on such a high from that ending at the end of last year.
Yeah.
You know, I've been watching The Man in the High Castle on Amazon. That's been really good. I need to watch the newest season of The Leftovers, which everyone has been talking about. I'm saying it's amazing. I'm really looking forward to that. But yeah, I mean, honestly, there wasn't that many things that stuck out to me. I know you and I, like I said, I didn't want to get negative, but, you know, neither of us like the new season of The Walking Dead. So Game of Thrones is definitely would be top of my list.
That's cool, man. I could definitely see that. And just really, it is important to mention, we're not going to dwell on it, but yeah, I think disappointed is probably a good word. I feel like the first two episodes of this season were kind of stellar, and since then it's been less than so. I'll stick with it. I'll watch out the rest of the season, I'm sure. But I don't know. I don't know where it's going. We won't go into it. I'll talk about some of the shows that I've enjoyed this year. You're right. Television has definitely changed, and I find myself drawn more and more to the independent TV makers like Netflix and HBO. And Netflix had two in particular that I watched this year that were excellent. Now, I have watched, American Horror Story is great. Bates Motel is great. Those are pretty well established. But two that were sort of off the radar for me that I picked up on this year were Sense8, which was a Netflix. It's got renewed for a second season, I think, which is in production now. So the whole first season's on Netflix. Really different. Kind of hip, global, cool. It's really, if you're into this, sort of the singularity, the mind shift, the psychic ability type of stuff. It's really, really interesting. It's very character driven, which is why I think I was drawn to it. And the big one for me this year that I'm halfway through the third and final season is Hemlock Grove. That snuck up on me. I didn't even hear much about it. And when I first started watching it, it felt like a little like Twilight to me, but it's totally not. It's a modern take on Gothic horror, but it's done in a really, really good way. Hemlock Grove is definitely I think hands down my favorite show I've watched this year, and I'm trying to blitz through the rest of it. I know I'll be disappointed because there's only three seasons, and the third season just came out in October. But those will be my TV shows.
Cool. Yeah, we haven't started the third season of that yet. So we watched the first two, and it's a very good show. And like you said, it starts out a little Twilight, but it definitely picks up and gets a lot better. So
Yeah, it does. Yep.
cool. So now we're going to talk about I guess some books we like this year. I know that like I said, I had a lot of trouble picking out just a few, so I'm gonna let you go first on this one.
Yeah, it was funny. We were talking a little bit off the air before the show, and I said when I was looking back at my list of things I had on my I bought on my Kindle this year, I think 23 or 24 of the titles were nonfiction. And because I was struggling trying to remember what fiction I read this year, and I was having a hard time, and I realized that sort of given where I am in my career trajectory, and I had a big focus on sort of marketing this year, and sort of now that I have a back catalog established, kind of getting eyeballs on that stuff. I was reading books by like Taylor Pearson and my man Buck Flogging and a bunch of other people who are in that sort of internet marketing space, and just kind of seeing what they were doing with it. So I didn't have a lot of fiction, and but the one I do want to mention, and this is authentic. I'm not saying it because we had him on, but Head Full of Ghosts was one of my favorite books ever, I think. I mean, let alone this year. It was just so well written, and it's not what you think. And it's clever and it's fast paced, and yet it's a really tight story. Like there's just not a lot of fluff there. And I'm not going to rehash Head Full of Ghosts since we did, the episode with Paul, but I would say for fiction, that was definitely one of my favorite books this year, if not ever.
Nice. Yeah, it's that one's definitely on my list too, as one of my favorite books this year. That book was awesome. So I'm not going to talk about all these in detail, but I have a lot. I read a ton of books this year. So I read like 75 fiction books. So and a lot of them were horror. So my favorite book of the year, or probably I don't know if it's my favorite, but I have to mention it because I know that you're gonna roll your eyes, but is Ready Player One, which is not a horror book. But I love that book. So it's probably not my favorite this year. I don't know if I really have a favorite, but it's definitely up there. Had to mention it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Or I kind of looked back at my Goodreads, so I was able to see stuff that in order I read it. At the first of the year, I read The Girl Next Door by Jack Ketchum. Definitely the most messed up book I've ever read, the hardest to read, but it's amazing. Desert Places by Blake Crouch. I really enjoyed that. It's part of a trilogy. And it's the first book especially, and it was his first novel. And for a first novel, it's awesome. Dark Hollow by Brian Keene. That's one that definitely sticks out. That book was very, very, very awesome. The Strain trilogy by Guillermo del Toro and Chuck Hogan, which is based off the Strain television show. The books are really good, and if the third book is anywhere where the show is going, then I'm really excited for the show because the third book was really, really cool. My favorite, I didn't read a bunch of zombie books this year because I've been writing so much zombie stuff, but by far my favorite zombie book I did read was Slowly We Rot by Brian Smith. It basically takes place in like a dystopian, like way after the zombie apocalypse, and this guy's in a cabin, and then he's like forced out, and he's goes out in the world basically looking for this girl he was in love with like 20 years ago, and it's kind of got like an unreliable narrator, and it's really 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 cool. That's a good book. Head Full of Ghosts is on my list, of course. We won't go into that too much because we've talked about so much. And then two King books I read this year that I love that just really stuck because I read a lot of King this year, like going back to some of his old stuff. But two of them, Pet Sematary, I finally read this year. Absolutely loved. Pet Sematary is just an awesome book. If you haven't read it, you should read it. And then Doctor Sleep, the sequel to The Shining, is amazing. It's that was definitely one of my probably top three books I read this year. And it's great. And again, I don't want to be negative, but one book I have to say that I'd been looking forward to that was extremely disappointing, and this isn't gonna get, this guy will never see the show, so I don't care. Was the last book in the Dexter series. Dexter the TV show. D Dexter's dead. It's the eighth book in the series, and I love every other book in that series, but the last book is just awful. Mm-hmm. And the ending was almost as bad as the ending to the TV show was. And if you've never watched the show, the ending is like one of the worst endings in television history. like I said, I don't want to be negative and heart, but it was pretty disappointing. So, yeah. And I'm not afraid to say it. So other books are great. So, but the other books that series are great. It's just if you go into that series, if you've never read it, don't expect a great ending, but a lot of the other books are really good. So,
you reminded me too, when you said King, I did read 11/22/63 this year. It kind of bridged the end of 2014, beginning of 2015. So,
yeah, I'm sure that's easy to do with that book.
What's that?
I said that'd be easy to do with that book, as big as it is.
Yeah, so. And it was surprisingly good. Like that was another thing I kind of had low expectations around, but it was magnetic, man. It pulled me in and I couldn't stop.
I'm glad you said that, because that actually leads into the last part of our show really well, which is things we're looking forward to in 2016, which is more like for us personally, but. There's a TV show coming out for 11/22/63 that I'm really looking forward to. It's going to be on Hulu. It stars James Franco, and everything I've seen of it so far looks like it's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
so,
I've been following all of King's been posting sort of behind the scenes on the set stuff over the past couple of months, and it looks really good.
Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome. And it's funny with King, man, like it's like all his stuff is either getting like rebooted or getting adaptations now. Like, you know, it's almost like that he's just trying to see all this stuff happen before he kicks the bucket, you know, which he's still got a ways to go. I'm not saying, but, you know, it's looking like the Dark Tower is actually going to happen and stuff. And now they're getting stars attached to it and stuff. But anyway, so 11/22/63 is definitely one thing I'm looking forward to. So, Jay, 2016, man, what are you thinking?
Well, like I said at the top of the show, I don't look too far back and I don't look too far ahead. And I know that it makes Brian Cohen shiver when I say I don't set goals. It drives him nuts. Him and Matt Morris both, like, don't want to hear that. But I'm pretty opportunistic. But that being said, I there are a few things that are in play for me right now that will definitely move into 2016 that I'm really excited about. The first one is you and I are in pre-production on a trilogy, and I'm really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We've been talking about this for a while, and we've had a few false starts, but I feel like we're getting pretty close to the point where we're going to sort of nail some things down and move forward. So that's on the calendar for 2016. Glenn James and I are kind of plotting our way through the last of the third first draft of a series. We don't know how many books it's going to be, but we're going to have three in our pocket before we do anything. So I would imagine early 2016, we'll have something out. I announced on Facebook a month or two ago, I have some pre-production work I'm doing on a Clive Barker adaptation that took me a long time to get permission to do, and it's gonna be worth it. And I'm pretty excited about it, and I don't know exactly what it's gonna be yet, but that's definitely one of my priorities for 2016. And then finally, I'm sort of, you know, I've really built a reputation as a collaborator and a co-writer, and I've done it enough times now that I'm starting to see a system emerge. And so I think what I'm gonna do in 2016 is look to do more systemization of my co-writing and collaboration. So it's not going to be the same as the Sterling and Stone guys, where they sort of work within that closed group of three pretty much. Mine's going to be more outward facing with different collaborators and different co-writers, but still systematized. And so I know that's kind of vague, but that's definitely on my mind for 2016. What about you, man?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm really, really looking forward to us doing our stuff. I mean, right as we speak right now, you know, I'm working to get ahead a little bit so that I can start on our stuff. You know, I'm about 30,000 words into Empty Bodies 5, which is going to be the penultimate book in that series. It's shaking out. The fifth book is definitely shaking out to be my favorite book in the series. There's some crazy shit going on. So I'm really, really, and it looks like it's going to be the longest too. I've said that the last two times the book's ended up being the exact same length as the other ones, but this one is really probably going to be a good chunk longer. But yeah, I'm trying to get ahead on that so we can start on our stuff, you know. Fingers crossed, everything goes right. You know, Jay and I will release a trilogy together in 2016, and at least get the first book or two out in that. But the way things are looking, I don't see why we couldn't get three books out, but we'll see. I mean, we don't know yet. So, but yeah, so Empty Bodies will finish probably in the summer sometime. The last book will come out late spring, early summer. We'll finish that. The main storyline, I do have some ideas for a spinoff. I'm going to write a sequel to The Witness at some point this year, my slasher horror book. I have a lot of people ask me about that. Yeah, I've got a couple other little things in the works. I have a couple of standalones I really want to write. And like I said, there's kind of a spinoff for Empty Bodies that's really brewing in my head that I know I'm going to want to do, but I'll probably break away from that story for a little bit. So I don't know if that'll actually happen this year or not, but really looking forward to our stuff. Like I've told you in an email, I'm actually scared that I like collaborating with you so much that I won't want to write anything else on my own. because the way that you and I have it set up, the way we're going to do it is like perfect for both of us. So, and really it goes to both our strengths. So, but we will get something out. Like you said, we've had a couple of false starts, but it's just because I think I was trying to rush into it. And instead of taking care of some other things I need to do, which is what I'm doing now, so we can do it. So someone just be patient. That's going to happen. We got some really cool ideas for a story. But man, just really looking forward to my second full year of publishing. You know, like I said, I've got every book written down that I'm going to write. And I think it's just going to be a lot of fun. I'm really interested to see where it takes me. And you know, really interested to see where the podcast goes too. So the podcast has been a lot of fun. And you know, we plan on continuing to do it for a while. So, you know, hopefully all you guys stick with us. And like I said, give us some feedback. So,
yeah. And to that point, if we're going to be completely transparent with you guys, this was sort of our beta test that we decided, when we were rebooting the podcast that we would go through the end of 2015 and then kind of see where we were. And if it felt like we didn't have anything to talk about, or if it felt like a chore, we weren't going to do it past that, but we are. So for the foreseeable future, we're going to keep at this.
Yeah, we've got some cool guests and stuff that are on the queue that we just haven't scheduled yet. So we should have some really good content coming out in the next, you know, next few months and beyond. So but thanks to everyone who has come back to us or who's newly discovered us and stuff. You know, this has been a lot of fun, and you know, we really appreciate you guys, you know, checking us out every week. Thank you to all the guests that came on, you know, bringing their time and coming on and talking to us for a little bit. It's been a lot of fun, and thank you, Jay, for you know, kind of let me take the reins and do this. And, you know, this has been a lot of fun. So
yeah, it's been great to have you. And it's been a lot of fun for me to be in this role and not have to worry about being the lead on a project. And I really appreciate that. And I know I can count on you, and you're reliable, and we have fun doing it. So thank you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that, we will close out, and everyone, you know, have a good holiday and all that stuff. And, well, let's everyone have a really good 2016 to look forward to.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year, and go Stars. Just got to say that, 'cause we're having such a good year. Got to say it. So, all right. Well, so we'll see you guys on the other side. All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Horror Writers Podcast. If you have any thoughts or questions about today's show, please feel free to leave us a comment. Subscribe on iTunes and on YouTube. If you like us, please leave us a review on iTunes. The Horror Writers Podcast can be found on the web at thehorrorwriterspodcast.com. All graphics provided by Johnny Diggs at diggscreative.com. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode.